Lord, we thank you.
Mukama kusima.
This is your service.
Service ino yomo.
Therefore, Holy Spirit, we ask you to move.
Ino moyo wa katonda, tumomba kutijenda.
Even as we share your word.
Ahesu kuzaku, kuiga chomo chomo.
Lord, we decrease.
Mukama kuipuke ndera kutulao.
So that you can increase in us.
Uyongere mwefe.
Father, we pray.
Baba kulomba.
That the big crown of your presence.
Chichi. Na feri we kamani we kuwa ukoo.
Will continue resting in us tonight.
Yeyongere kuwa kuna mwefe amuweche ne.
In Jesus' name.
Muri nyale na Yesu.
Amen.
Umota amina.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So grateful tonight.
Nisimana nguwene hambulu veche leno.
To have this opportunity to share the word of the Lord.
Kumangana fire kabino, kumangana chomo chomukama.
And I don't take it for granted, I take it as an honor.
Ira kechi ilanga chidambi.
Because I know that God purposed us to be here today.
Rekukana majire tuwele, abere michi gendere wa kumanga kwa chileno.
So that we can receive from him.
Ngarise kufuna kiyama hesa ali.
Tonight I want to share some of the things I've learned in the time I have been in the ministry. I have been in the ministry, active ministry for the last 22 years. I started as a youth chairperson. I was ordained as a pastor. I went all the way to assistant bishop then. And now I am a pastor in Sozo Ministry Church. And I'm feeling tonight I need to share some of the things, the challenges, and the things that can help us to build and make our ministry better than they
are.
And tonight I'm going to speak about five important qualities of a leader. In our churches, the things that will help you, help your church, and at the same time, equipping the people in your church, and helping them to become better, and as well making your ministry easier. You can turn with me in the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 1. The Bible says, now in the church that was in
Antioch,
there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manael, who had been brought out with the Herod to the Tetrarchs and Saul. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, when you look at that portion of the Bible, you see these two people were in two important ministries that we need to have as a man of God.
Well,
they were in the ministry of prayer and fasting. And in social ministries, we have a habit whereby every beginning of the year, we set 21 days to go before the Lord and dedicate the year to the Lord and pray for the things we want the Lord to do for us. And in that time of prayer and fasting, the Lord spoke to them and said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul." There are things in the ministry and in our lives that draw us behind or delays our ministry cannot be broken unless in prayer and fasting. And here are five things the Lord has taught me in the journey of the ministry. If you're writing, you can write them down. One, a leader has to have a healthy relationship with God. You must discipline yourself in the line of prayer, worship, love the word, because this is very important as a minister of the gospel. Listen to me. He who connects to God, it is easier for you to connect with people. You know, many times we pray that God fill our church. We want to see a big number. We want to be fat. We want to grow like this. But for us to be able to get into the realm of connecting to people, we have first to connect with God. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 2, the Bible says, "So he summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the work of God in order to serve the tables.'" Now, there was a confusion in the church. And the apostles and the deacons and the leaders of the church, they forgot their assignment in the church. They were neglecting the important call. And they were busy going to the people, sharing the bread and doing those small jobs. For recognition. But there is a rebuke that is coming to them. And the Bible says, "So the 12 summoned the congregation of the people, saying, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the work of God.'" Because many times, men of God, we waste a lot of time doing the things that people can recognize us. And we need to build a healthy relationship with God. James 4:8, the Bible says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." But in verses 4, the Bible says, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." How many times do you wake up in the morning and have fellowship with God through reading the word of God? How many times do you spare your time and decide today, I'm going to switch off my phone, I'm going to close down any other business and spend time in prayers? Because as a minister, if you miss to feed yourself with the word, You will have nothing to give to the people. And that's why you see there are so many copy paste in the churches. I am trying to do what so and so is doing. Because I don't have something to give to the people. They devoted themselves in prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I'm challenging you today, spend some time in reading the word of God. Spend some time in prayer. Hallelujah. Number two, the leader has to have love for the church. The local church, the place God has called you.
Chief of us where I'm planted.
The people that God has put around you.
But where I'm planted.
You know, in East Africa, there is a lot of manipulation that is going in the church.
East Africa, we more
you will see a pastor in Tanzania. Stepping on, asking the members to lie down and stepping on them because he said he's so holy he cannot touch the ground to be defiled. That is not loving the people that God has put you. God has taught me this. That every member that comes to my church every Sunday morning, he does not come because I ask him or her to come. He's coming because he has the love for God. And therefore, the time I will be with that person in the service, I need to value that person. I need to show love to that person. I need to feel concern of the life of that person. And that is what God is calling us. He who serves others resembles the love and the heart of the Lord. There is a book I read some few years ago, and I've been reading that book. I got it from Apostle Scott. The title of that book is Read Like Jesus. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus humbled into the ground. And the more he was moving and meeting people, wonders and miracles were happening in the ministry of Jesus. God is looking for people that can say, it is not all about me, but it is all about him. The love for the church. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible says God is not unjust. He will not forget the work. He will not forget your work. And the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue helping them. As you serve people, you are serving God. And I'm praying to you tonight. May the love of Christ grow in you. That even as you speak to people, you are speaking the love of Christ. You are demonstrating Christ into their lives. Because we were called and ordained and separated to serve people of God and to demonstrate the kingdom of God into their lives. We resemble Christ by serving the people that God has put into our hands. Colossians 1:4, the Bible says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ and the love for all God's people. I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love of God through his people.
God recognizes your effort and your good job you are doing by loving other people that God has
put.
Do you want to see your church growing? Do you want to see your church growing up and growing vertically and horizontally? Show love to the people that God has put into your life. You know, when I was in the ministry before I joined Sozo Ministries, it happened a time in 2009, the Lord called me into a full-time ministry. And it was not easy to explain to my wife that I'm stopping working now to serve God in full-time ministry. Because we were barely 1 year after we got married. I started suffering in the ministry immediately after I listened to the call of God. And I had so many positive comments from especially my family members. Especially one of my sisters, Seraphim. She told me, "Are you a fool? Why do you leave, stop working and serving a church that cannot even be able to pay your bills?" She will watch this and confirm. I never answered that. In 2012, the Lord asked me to go to South Sudan. I thought now my life is changing and things gonna begin to work well for me. But things became so hard to an extent in 2015 when my second born was born. My wife gave birth and I came to see her when the baby was around 3 months old. I wasn't there with her. And one day my wife asked me a question. Those from Juja, they can attest that I was able to answer that question in our second anniversary. She asked me, Are you sure God called you? Let me tell you, if you want to succeed in the ministry, make sure first your wife confirms that God called you. Because that is the only member that can still be, even when everyone else left. But now my wife is telling me, "Are you sure you are called?" And she woke me at the middle of night around 2 a.m. So I pretended that I didn't hear what she was asking. But three years later, after Sozo Ministry is doing well in Juja, that is when I asked her in the, it was at that anniversary, I asked her in the pulpit. I told her, "Now I want to answer you the question you asked me some years ago." And I asked her, "Now, do you think God called me?" She has never answered that even today. So I'm still expecting an answer maybe in the near future. Because let me tell you, the greatest call that you have as a man of God, it is a call to confirm to the people around you that God has called you. And how do you confirm to those people that God has called you? You confirm by serving them. The Bible says that we shall know their fruit. We shall know them them by their fruits. You cannot call me an apostle and my work does not qualify me to be an apostle. I've seen so many bishops in Kenya. They are the bishop of 5 members in the church. Bishop, 5 people. You are the mightiest prophet of 2 churches. You know, the titles doesn't matter. What matters, it is the work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because you have heard, I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love for all God's people. It attaches God by the work that we do. You know, the Bible says that many will appear before God. And they said, I healed the sick, I cast out demons, I did wonders and miracles. And Jesus will say, I did not know you. Because I never sent you. God recognizes us, recognizes you by the work, by the service you do to the people around you. If you serve your members so well, and serve your church so well, no one will leave. And if they leave, they will come back. Hallelujah. Am I helping somebody? Number three. A reader has to have a person of integrity. A person of good integrity. That means he has to have a healthy family life, social life, as well as a good testimony. Inside the church and outside the church. He who learns his family well can learn the church of Christ well. Because the church, it is a spiritual family. So if you feel you fail to learn your family so well, you can't learn the church. Yes, I have a family, I have the church assignments. I am reporting directly to him.
Yes, baby,
but when the family calls, comes first. Before I think of the church, I need first of all to console my wife. And if she says no, the ministry will have to wait. Then I go and work out with her. Listen to me. When God called you, your wife became part of the call because you and her are one. You know, when the man of God, pastor, said, you know, Mimi, in Swahili, they say, Mimi, I am the one who had God. So there is nothing you can tell me. A woman, our wives, they are our helpers. And if you don't learn your family so well, it will be hard for you to learn the church of Christ. Because the greatest church starts from your home. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to
7.
He said, here is trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble task. So if you desire to be a pastor, if you desire to be a reader of the church, you desire to be an elder, you desire something that is very, very, very important. But he said in verses 2, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Listen to those qualities. Number one, not even able to teach. But faithful to your wife. The Kitale pastors, they know there is a church I post. Because that bishop, he was calling himself an apostle. He joined the social ministries. And when he filled the application form, there is a name he put for the wife. And the number of children he has. Then after some few years, he was calling me through Pastor Violet that kindly ask Apostle to come to my church and dedicate the baby from my new wife. I never went there and I closed that church. Because if you're not faithful to your wife, you cannot be faithful to a wife of Christ. Church is the wife of Christ. We are a bride of Christ. And the church you take care of, you are taking care of the wife of Christ. The church is not your property. It is somebody else's wife. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is Christ's wife. You cannot joke around with somebody's wife. If you want to see the other side of my anger, joke around with my wife. Because I value her, I love her, I treasure her. And church is the wife of Christ. You cannot manipulate somebody else's wife. You cannot cheat somebody else's wife. You cannot abuse somebody else's wife. And if you are not faithful to your physical wife, how can you be faithful to Christ's wife? Self-control. Very important. Many cases come to our offices. How do you deal with that case? Do you bring those people back to the church or you kick them out of the church? Do you lean on this person because he's a good tither? Do you do judgment well because this person is your friend and this person is not your friend? Are you respectable? Are you hospitable? Are you able to teach? Now, this one takes us now to the ministry of the word. If you don't lead the word, you will spend all your time in the pulpit giving people stories. Let me tell you, we are in the 21st century. You saw the other day in Kenya. The government was a little bit stubborn, but the Gen Zs, the Generation Z, put pressure on the government until the government dropped the bill in the parliament. Those are the age between 11 years and 27 years. People have gone to school. There are some of the members we read, they are more educated than we are. You are misquoting the Bible verses and they are confirming his lying to us. Sometimes you are teaching and they are doing the research of the topic you are teaching. You must be enlightened. Before you stand at the pulpit, spend some time to prepare your sermon. Because if you desire to be a leader, you must be able to teach. And Paul continues saying, not given to drunkenness. I interpret this word into two ways. It can be drunkenness of alcohol, or it can be excessive love for something. Money, fame, recognition. And he continues saying, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not love for money. And that's why in social ministries we have the record, the financial record book. We don't give you that book so that we can check how much money comes to your church. But we are giving that you that book so that you can be accountable of what God has given into your hand. If you are not faithful with one, God cannot give you two. And this is the reason why even our churches are not going. If you are not faithful with those two members God has given you, don't expect for more. Verses 4, he said, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. Have you submitted your children to the word of God? Are you teaching them your culture? Because your culture is not of where you come from. Your culture is the culture of heaven. Do you teach them to read the word of God? Do you teach them how to pray? Do you show them how, when the problem comes, where they're supposed to go and submit their problem? You know, sometimes I have a daughter who is, he believes that anything I ask daddy, daddy is going to give me. But I started teaching her something. There is a cartoon she likes watching. It's called Diana and Roma. And at the age of 2, she was able to know pizza. And she believed any other food is not food, the lunch is pizza. But I told my wife, this girl we are raising, somebody else's wife. She will not be with us forever. If we spoil her, we are spoiling somebody else's wife. And now I have taught her to know that not everything you ask you can have. And before you ask daddy, first of all, ask the one that provides to daddy. Is that not a good teaching to our children? Do you teach your children the same? Praise the Lord. And he continues saying, and he must do so in manner worthy of full respect. Teach them, train them, but under the guidance of the word of God. It should not walk outside the word of God. And verses 5, which is very key. He says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take good care of the church? Now, let me teach you something. If you want to know, you will go to heaven. Not through going to church every Sunday. Go home and ask your wife this question. And keep asking her now and then. When you look at me, am I born again Christian? If your wife says no, I'm telling you are not born again Christian. Go ask your husband. When you look at me, do you think I am a born again Christian? If he says no, I promise you are not born again Christian. These are the people that knows you more than the church members. You know, the church members knows us as the holy and thou. Our pastor is very holy. And when you ask him everything, he will help you. He sleeps next to God. Your wife knows you better. He knows you when you are naked. He knows you when you are making you are quarrelsome to your children. He knows when your tempers are up. He knows you when you, he knows how you are told when they ask you for money. And if he tells you genuinely that you are not born again person, please go and pursue peace with God because you are not born again. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, he cannot manage the church. Verse 6 is that he must not be a recent convert. This will help us also in our churches. Because many times we ordain people and give them leadership in the churches because he look big and he's educated, he can speak good English, he can support you when you're preaching and you say, oh, he can become a very good teacher. If he's recent convert and you give him leadership, the pride will begin to grow in that person. And you begin to step down other people in the church. That's why the Bible says that he should not be a recent convert. Or he may become considered and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Number 7, he said he must also have a good reputation with outsiders. What do people say in your village? Your neighbors, they are there. No. Your neighbors in your church. Do they believe in you? Do they recognize you as a pastor? Do they? I'm asking a question. Do they recognize that you are called? If they don't, then you have an assignment to do. Before you go to the next village, although Jesus said the prophet is not recognized in his own town, but you must have a good reputation with outsiders. Because he says, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the trap of the devil. Now, up to there, do you desire to be a pastor? Lift your hand if you desire to be a pastor. Do you follow those qualities of a leader? I know it is not easy, but you have to work it out. Number 4, the fourth thing that God has taught me in the journey of the ministry. A leader has to have a social skill. Being a friendly leader is being like Christ. This means a leader has to be friendly and communicative. Not crossed and not a lone ranger. You have to have a relationship with the people around you. Anytime Apostle Scott come to Kenya, I make sure that the pastors that work with us in the neighborhood in Juja, they come. And last time I organized him a pastor's breakfast for the leaders. Because I am not a lone ranger. Do I have somebody who can give a testimony on my behalf? Do I have somebody who can rebuke me in my city? Or it is all about me and my ministry. He has to have, or he has to be transparent to others. Respectful. helpful continually within the power and ability that God has given. In the book of John 15:15, the Bible says, I am no longer a servant. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made you know. We are sons of Jesus. We are sons of God. And therefore, even as we serve other people, we walk together with him. Because whatever we are doing, we are fulfilling the master's business. It is not all about us, but it is all about him. That's why Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, do not be anxious of anything. And he talks about anxiety. He talks about fear. He talks about all those things. He gave an example of a young lion. He gave an example of the lilies in the field. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, he says, search ye the kingdom of God first. And its righteousness. And all other things that we need in our churches, in our communities, in our homes, shall be added unto us. Search ye first the kingdom. On Sunday, I was telling the church, no, the kingdom is when you have a good relationship with God. Righteousness is how now you relate with the people around you. You cannot love God and hate the people of God. You cannot say, I am faithful to the church, but you are not faithful to the people that God has put around you. You must be faithful to God and faithful to the people around you. That's now what God, Jesus was saying, that search ye the kingdom of God first and its righteousness. And when you fulfill these two things, the Bible says, and other things, that big church you need, that instrument you need, that land you need, that whatever picture you have for your ministry, him will add to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Matthew chapter 11, verses 19. You know, he said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they said, here is a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and a sinner. But wisdom proved light by her deeds. I don't care what you do in your ministry. I don't care the name that you have. But what cares? It is the deed and the results of what you're doing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
deeds. They proved him. They are calling him gluttonous, drunkard, friend of tax collectors, sinners. But that, Jesus never cared about it. But the Bible says, but wisdom proved light by her deeds. Will God, when you go to heaven, will God embrace you and say, here comes my faithful servant? That which you are building in your ministry, we let sustain, we let go through fire. We let withstand the times of turbulences. When the lashes will be shaken, we let stand. God told me, the reader has to have a social skills. Learn to read books. At least build, adapt the knowledge that you have. I don't know knowledge that you have. Read book. If there is a like in In the website, you'll find so many free Bible schools. At least add up something small from what you have. Don't continue working with the own old wine can. Come up with a new skill. Read books, go to Bible school. When you hear they're teaching that can help you, not the doctrines, but the teaching that can help you, go there and learn. Because they helps your skill to read the people that God has put in your life. And remember, every day you are receiving new members. I said some of them, they are even more educated than we are. And if you don't rise above them, you will not lead them. Because you have to be in front of them and they follow you. You know, in Israel, the shepherd was going before the flock. So that in case there is any danger, he will kill. That's why David is saying, I killed the lion with my bare hands. I killed the bear. Because he was leading and the flock was following him. If you don't have skill, they will lead you and you follow them. And you will not be able to protect them from any danger. You know, we have two kind of, there is a goat and there is a sheep. A goat walks with the four legs. Those that have ever been in the grazing field, you realize sometimes you find the goat standing with two, is the goat or sheep? Yeah, standing with 2 feet. Anytime it stands above the sheep, there are things that God can see which the sheep cannot see. And the moment you don't rise above the people that God is reading you, they will begin to see the things you don't see. And they will begin to challenge your vision, challenge your calling, because you are not rising above them to give them direction. And that's why God is calling us as a reader to have a social skill. And finally, a reader has to know his or her calling. That means you have to know what you are supposed to be or what you are called to do in the body of Christ. This is what we call now the identity in Christ Jesus. There is a specific area God has called you. Don't keep on, because your neighbor church is a prophetic and healing and what we call the other one? And power ministry. And he has a big following. Tomorrow you are changing your ministry to prophetic ministry. When you do that, you're walking away from the calling that God has put you. Build on what God has called you to do. Even if it is not working today, keep building it. Even if it seems it is not working, keep building it. Keep working it out. And one day, God is going to establish what is in you in the ministry. If God has called you in the ministry of teaching, keep teaching, even if people feel that your church is so boring because there is no miracles, there is no wonder. Keep teaching. And the more you keep teaching, wonders and miracles will begin to move in the church. There is this young man who died when Paul was preaching in the upper room. And the Bible says, even when one of the men came and said, I can't remember, I'm trying to remember the name, so-and-so has died because he fell from the window and he died.
The Bible says that Paul walked downstairs, raised him, and he went back to the upper room and continued teaching. He never stopped and celebrated the miracle. As you continue doing what God has called you to do, he will establish it. He will make it work, and he will position you, and he will give you authority on that. Because all of us, we are called in a special assignment. There is something you can do, I cannot do. Even if I try to copy paste, it will not work, because you are the original copy of God. Keep doing it. Even if it doesn't work, keep doing it. If God has called you in the ministry of prayer, keep praying. Even when it seems God is not answering prayer, keep praying. And one day God is going to establish it. Leadership, in my opinion, is very specific. And it is important as well as it is important to be well defined. In Romans chapter 12, verses number 6, the Bible says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to read, do it in integrity. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All of us, there is something that God has put in you. And I want to tell you, in the last 22 years that I've been in the ministry, I can say that I wasted like 10, 12 years in the ministry. Because I was trying to do like that other person. But the moment I came to realize that there is a specific area that God has called me. Because where God has called you, that is where your grace is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You didn't hear that. That area that God has called you, that is where the grace is. The moment you walk out of it, you walk out of the grace. And out there you will struggle, you will suffer, you will go through a very hard time. Until the moment you come back to the place where you have grace, that is where you will survive. I am challenging you. I know there is, God has already defined the ministry that he has put in your life. Because in the social ministry, we are in the first generation. We can be able to build it so well to help the next generation that will come and build on top of the foundation you have laid. By understanding your calling, and working on your calling, and building on your calling. If God has called you in that small city, don't be greedy because you want to go to town and open up the church, because in town there is a big offering and people will come driving in the church. If it is in the village, that is where the grace is. The Bible says John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, and people were walking from the cities to the wilderness, because that is where the grace was. Build in that place God has called you. There are people that God has called them to work with a small group of people. Don't desire to have a big congregation.
The problem I had when the church was small, 5 members, 10 members. It is not the same problem I'm dealing with it today. Because when the church was small, Pastor Isaiah, you can attest that. When the church was so small, you could be able to work on those things very quickly. And there was no much problems in the church. But the moment the church began growing, the problem began growing at the same time. The youth, you have the big number of youths. Every now and then you have the cases, so and so is sleeping with so and so. You have the cases of women, they have issues with their husbands. Because the more the church is growing, the bigger the problem is. And God, when God grows your ministry, He also increases the grace in your life. So that you can be able to walk with them and be able to equip the people around you so that the work of the ministry can become easy. Have I helped somebody? God has taught me those things. And every day I make sure that I apply them in my ministry. Because I came to realize this is, I am doing it in my generation. But tomorrow and near future, another generation will come. And if I don't lay a solid foundation, what I am building today, it will fall. So be very careful in what you are building. At least we are happy because we have people who can tell us. The church that I grew up, Apostle Scott is a witness. The very day I invited him in Kenya, being my guest, I was not even given an opportunity to introduce him. And then my spiritual father introduced him that Scott, I don't know what the name he said, and he said he's from California. Because he didn't even know him. The reason why there was all those things happening, it is because I am rising up, and my name is coming up, and now I am beginning to become a threat to the ministry. And I say to God, the sons that I will raise, the people that I will raise, I will give them the opportunity to serve. If they have a gift that there is a gift that is working into their lives, I will support them in that gift. So that the mistake and the problem I went through in the ministry cannot happen into their lives. Learn to equip other people that are under you. I'll finish by saying this. If you stop your ministry at 50%, listen to me very well. If you finish your ministry at 50%, and the person that is under you is 20%, I am confirming to you that ministry is dead on arrival. Because if you are finished at 50 and he's at 20, it means by the time he come up to where you are, he's already finished. So your ministry will not grow. So don't feel threatened when you see you are raising the sons who can do better than you do. Because that shows your ministry is safe. It shows that your ministry will still exist even after you are gone. Praise the Lord.
Yes, I see where that.
If Pastor Caleb does something so powerful in the ministry and people are happy, I'll be happy because I'll say, this is my son. He is my making. And whatever he's doing, I know that I'll be safe. Even when I'm out of the picture. But if you want to be a church, your pastor,
You are
secretary.
When you are
mama kanisa.
When you are kanisa.
You are youth leader.
When
you are worship leader.
When you are Isaiah.
You are doing everything in the church. You don't give them an opportunity to grow. I am confirming to you that the ministry that God has put in your life, it will die. Know your call. Walk in your call and support other people to rise. If they rise above you, praise the Lord. Stand up on your feet. I want you to make a very short prayer. Tell the Lord, maybe in the past I've done a certain mistake in my ministry. Maybe those things have touched. You feel in your life there are some gaps. Just lift up your hands and tell the Lord to help you. It is only the Holy Spirit that can help us do the ministry. And that's why one of the core values of Soso Ministries is an itmasi red. We listen to the Holy Spirit and we do what He says. Because it is not all about us, but it is all about Him. It is not all about our calling, but it is all about His calling. Hallelujah. Just lift up your voice for 1 minute and tell the Lord to help you. That area you feel there is a gap, tell the Lord, help me, Lord. In the next phase of my ministry, in the next phase of my calling, Lord, help me so that I can emerge to be a good reader. I can help my church to become better. I can attract the presence of God in my ministry. And by the end of the day, God will say, "Here comes my faithful servant." Because you have been able to fulfill the assignment that God has put in your life. Tell the Lord to help you. Tell the Lord to give you grace to raise other people. Tell the Lord to give you grace to equip other people in the church. If there is an area you need to repent, tell the Lord to forgive you so that your ministry can become effective. You can be a role model to other people, and you can be able to accomplish everything that God has purposed you to accomplish. Father, help us today in the name of Jesus. We want to become effective leaders in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus.